This is Common Sense Radio on the Michigan Talk Network.
All right, let's shift gears, shall we? Let's talk about your health and your health care and your health care costs and things we talk about here on this program on a regular basis. Let's talk about that for a moment with our next guest, Seth Denson, president and co-founder of GDP Advisors. Seth, welcome to the program.
Steve, thanks for having me back on. Appreciate it.
Good to have you here. You say the U.S. spends more on health care than other countries, but doesn't get our money's worth. Do explain.
Well, you know, as far as getting our money's worth, I think that's the, when we talk about how much the U.S. spends on health care versus other countries, you know, you almost have to separate those two because other countries mostly have government control of where health care spending goes. And so without infusing some sort of government control on the overall expenditures, we live in this conflict of what we call capitalism and care, and that our current system allows for a number of things, including what we have found to be a lot of unnecessary tests and waste in the system. And in large part, we think the biggest driver of that is the fee-for-service model that we operate under in the healthcare system now and here in the United States.
Well, I think we should have truth in pricing. I think we should know what we're buying. I think it should be on a menu like anything else. This is what this costs, this is what that costs, not based on insurance, based on the real world.
That's exactly right. And I think last time you and I talked, we spent a lot of time talking about transparency within the pricing system, and that I can go get an MRI in one location and another location it costs, you know, over 100% more in one versus the other. And so as we look at it, a lot of this is the complexity of how services are priced here in the United States. I mean, take, for example, the national network program that we have in the insurance model, right? You got Anthem Blue Cross and Cigna and Aetna and United. And if I, as I mentioned those four carriers, I'm not talking about four network structures with network prices. I'm talking about probably somewhere around 50 or 60 various sub-networks that are within those insurance companies that make no sense as to whether an MRI costs one price within United Healthcare's Network A
A
different cost under Network B.
It costs what it costs. I mean, you may be able to negotiate a better price on a new car, you know, but you're in a range. You know, you might pay this much at this dealer, this much, but you're in a range. You know that you're not wildly, you know, it's not $400 one place and $4,000 someplace else, but that can be the truth with MRIs. You know, I learned
that's
exactly
right. You know, you've got this price differential in just about everything we buy in goods and services here in the United States. But that price differential usually is roughly plus or minus 5%. Some odd scenarios would be 20%. But if I'm paying 20% more, I'm probably getting a different level of service for that goods and services. So, you know, but healthcare is one of those things. And again, I think we talked about this last time, where I don't really know what I'm paying till after I've had those services rendered to me, which creates this ongoing problem of lack of transparency on the front end, rather that shocking bill on the back end.
Yeah, I'll give you that. Now, one of the things that I saw here from an ABC News report about a new study from the Journal of the Association of Medical, the American Medical Association, JAMA Journal, that somehow we're paying all this money and yet life expectancy is lower and this and that. You know, there are some things out there that I have to take issue with. Life expectancy in America in 2017 has gone up dramatically just in my lifetime. If you were born in 1960, your chance of surviving this that long, limited. You would be 66 years old as a man in 1960, 73 as a woman. Today, you'll be almost 80 years old as a man on average, 82 years old as a woman on average in America. Things are getting better, and they continue to get better. And compared to the rest of the world, we're in the top grouping of countries. We're not at the top. You know, that is held off for Canada and Sweden and Switzerland and so forth, and Japan at number one always. But we're doing better. We live longer. And obesity is always lumped in there with health care dollars. Obesity has nothing to do with health care dollars, in my estimation. It has to do with how you treat your own body. You can't treat it like an amusement park and expect it to last forever.
You know, you're exactly right, and I mentioned at the onset that we have this conflict here in the United States of capitalism and care, and one of those conflicts is that capitalism is the driving force behind innovation, which is creating this longer life expectancy. I mean, we think about the types of vaccines that have come out over the last half century, that is creating these longer lifespans, and the rest of the world is benefiting from the United States capitalism, but the rest of the world is benefiting in a a way that they're not willing to pay for it. Because what I've said for a long time is, especially when it comes to pharmaceuticals, the United States pays for research and development, and the rest of the world gets to kind of ride the coattails of that because of their structure of price fixing when these pharmaceuticals go into their markets and try to sell their drugs. So the United States is paying for bottom line growth, and the rest of the world pays for top line growth. And in the end, pharmaceutical companies win, the other countries win, but the United States taxpayer loses. And that's a big problem.
How do you fix that?
I'm sorry?
I mean, how do you fix that? How do you address that? You identified the problem quite well. Where do you go from there to make it better, to fix the problem?
Yeah, so there's part of the overall conflict, right? I mean, we're getting into potential structure of state negotiations between countries, but I will tell you that I think the biggest driver that we could do is just reduce the cost and the FDA regulation of bringing a drug to market. You know, it takes on average 12 years and over $2 billion to bring a new drug to market. Now, there's very few companies that can invest that type of research and development, and once they do, they got to get a return on that investment. So this is thwarting other industry, other organizations from stepping up and doing better research and development, just because, quite frankly, they can't afford to get through the bureaucratic structure and red tape to get a drug to market.
Yeah, it's difficult, and then people don't respect the idea that it takes years and years, and then a drug's put on the market that may save people from heart disease or diabetes or whatever, and then they complain about the cost. Well, you know, research and development didn't come for free. It's not inexpensive, and a lot of these companies lose more often than they win on this research and development. I'll give you the last word.
No, you're absolutely right. Again, as we would hope to see some solutions out there driving down the cost of care by lessening government regulation on development and research, but also changing the structure in which we bill for goods and services and increasing transparency. I say it all the time, transparency, transparency, transparency.
There you go. Seth, always a pleasure. Greatly appreciate talking to you. I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great day.
Yeah, but Seth Dennison, president, co-founder, GDP Advisors. You know, there's got to be a way. I think the truth in advertising, it's really what it comes down to. Truth in advertising. Tell us what it costs so we know, so it's not a shock. It's not unfair. It's the honest thing to do, isn't it? 25 after on the Steve Gerber Show.